Says I Love You, the fabulous genius Woody Allen made that movie. And, oh, my God, I went and saw There's Something About Mary that everyone's raving about.
Oh, yeah.
Not that funny. A lot of sight gags. A lot of goo gags.
What's a goo gag?
A lot of just, like, jizz humor and stuff. And I swear to God, and weak in the dialogue department. Very weak. Meanwhile,
you're stuck here in this damn radio show.
I'm stuck here.
Here we go.
Beverly Hills is not at all like that. It's
good.
I mean, but it does have, like, you know, vibrators and breasts and sex and, like, all those things too. Only it has really good dialogue.
That's fine. As long as you weave it together.
Exactly.
With
it's got that.
The yarn of good dialogue.
Yes.
Yeah. Deconstructing Harry. Now that was a good movie. That was a funny movie.
What?
That had a lot of good dialogue in that movie.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
Yeah.
I saw that movie. I enjoyed that.
It sickens me that we live in a society where everything about Mary or whatever that that turd was is boy, I'll tell you, everyone goes nuts for this movie. It's making tons of money, and everybody I have a meeting with can't stop talking about it. And it's really very weak. It pales in comparison.
Now, when you first saw it, you were lukewarm. You weren't calling it very weak.
Because the more people say how good it is, the more I want to say how weak it is. That's all right. It had its moments, but Woody Allen it craps out better movies than that on a bad day. I mean, he has 25 movies that are funnier than that, much funnier. So, all you idiots, go out there and watch those, would you, jackasses? Rhonda.
Yes.
You're 27.
Yes.
Rhonda.
Stop shooting for the lowest common denominator, all you idiots.
That's our whole
See
culture.
See something that's
that.
Worth a damn.
Our whole culture is that, Anna.
Like the slums of Beverly Hills. See the way I worked that into my tirade?
Yeah, I didn't know what to... I wasn't really listening. But,
Rhonda.
You got to start listening. I offered you cookies 30 seconds ago. And it was during the break.
Yeah.
I said, Natasha, you want some cookies? No, thanks. 10 seconds later. Can I have some cookies?
She's diving at them. Jumping over the console.
Yeah, baby. Pull it together.
I'm a mess.
Rhonda.
Yes.
All right, well, what's your question?
I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
27, and I guess I can't climax, I guess. I'll be doing it, and...
doing what?
Having sex. it gets really, really intense, and it starts to feel really good... And then all of a sudden it just stops and it goes away. And it's not like it doesn't feel good after that, but it's not as intense. And I don't like, I'm not like going, I guess. So.
Yeah, can women do that? Is there like such a thing as like premature ejaculation for a woman?
I mean, is it?
It's just, you don't masturbate, do you?
No.
That's the problem.
Sure can smell it when a woman doesn't masturbate. He walks down the street. We go to the airport and women come on. No. No, yeah, maybe. She's too far away. She was eating a sandwich. I couldn't. I got a little egg salad mix in there. It's hard to tell. Yep. No. None comes by. Yeah, I don't want to say. Rhonda?
Yes.
So, why don't you masturbate?
It doesn't feel good.
Mm-mm.
I don't like to do that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not like a complex thing. I'm not worried about it. It just doesn't do anything for me at
doesn't
all.
Doesn't make sense, right? Doesn't work.
No, it doesn't do anything.
Listen, right. I had those years too, but I worked through them. I pushed through them. I doubled down. I recommitted myself to masturbation.
If anybody wants...
But, yeah.
Yeah.
But listen, yeah, see, we're keeping it real, me and Natasha.
If you want to understand
New
masturbation...
York.
The difference between men and women is could not be more... specific than right here, where a man, there's no such thing as a man that has to find a special place or, even though you're kidding about doubling down, I mean, look, yeah. Just a mechanical thing and it happens. For a woman, there is...
A special place for a man could constitute the stairwell in between the outdoor parking structure.
That's right.
You squeeze one off there.
That's right, or your grandpa's funeral or something. I mean, that's...
Right.
A man is a purely mechanical event. It doesn't require any emotional connection. And for most women, it does require a certain sense of something specific in terms of trying to connect with an intimacy.
I get the feeling something's going on with Rhonda, though.
Yeah, I kind of got that too, I got to say. And that's, of course, anything that blocks the ability to be emotionally open will impair the ability then to function.
Something going on with you, Rhonda?
Like what?
Like, is
there a reason why
you're
talking about? What is that?
Kind of shut down here?
40%, 50%?
I'd like to find out. I mean, I've had stuff happen to me when I was little, but I don't think that it's affecting me.
What happened?
I had a lot of stuff. Family stuff.
What happened?
My brothers did some stuff.
Sexually?
Yeah, and my dad when I was older, when I was about...
All right, so that's profoundly
affected. Did you let her finish her... How old?
Well, when I don't remember when it started with my brothers. I know I was really young, and my parents knew what was going on, and they didn't do anything about it.
That's insane.
And then my dad, when I was 13, right after my mom left, he started doing stuff.
All right, so this is profound stuff.
Oh, that's not a blip on the psychological radar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's heavy. As a matter of fact, brothers and dad...
Wow, that's it.
It's a grand slam.
Right.
Huh. You know, and although you've organized your personality and your emotional world in such a way as to make and adapt to life and make life comfortable, it still has a profound influence. And this is one of the ways it's influencing you. You're becoming aware of it anyway.
Yeah, Rhonda, there's definitely something up here. And it's just, you got to work it out. But you're not going to be able to work it out sexually.
Right.
You got to work it out psychologically, and then that'll free up the sex stuff.
I don't understand how to do that. I guess because
it's not by yourself.
Pretty good.
You what?
I thought I'd been doing pretty good with it.
You probably are.
Well, you may be real functional and everything, but I gotta believe it's affecting your relationships,
right, which is really, really the most sensitive ground for symptoms pertaining to this sort of thing. I mean, that's where who we are in our relationships is where you really see stuff.
So let me just get something straight. Your brothers, plural,
yeah,
sort of tampered with you sexually when you were younger.
Yeah.
And then your dad got things started when you were 13.
Yeah.
And you never have sought any help for this?
No.
Okay, because that's it's almost impossible that you not be greatly affected and your relationships be greatly affected by those episodes unless you seek a little help.
Right.
Well, probably what's happening also is that when you first start having sex, like, you're actually excited about it physically, but then, you know, gradually you start, you know, to think and maybe your brain starts to go to, like, places.
It's all that powerlessness.
Yeah, it's hard to concentrate.
You know, so that's why at first it's good, and then it's just a mess because
it's
your brain.
Well, it's all back to that trauma. Everything's resurfaced, and only so much you can...
Where's your dad now?
He's in California.
Oh, that's nice.
I moved to Phoenix so that I wouldn't be around the family.
Right. And I'm guessing...
I'm doing much better here. I'm
sure.
These are your...
a lot together more than it was. But
were these your older brothers?
Yeah, they're about 10 years older than me.
Dad might have been doing stuff to the brothers too.
Sure.
They're my half brothers.
They got themselves some kids and started themselves a family.
My brother has a daughter. And
fantastic
about that. But
that's great. Well, we got to keep it going. You know, we got to have a little daughter. Yeah. Hey, you ever curious about what's up with him and his daughter and that kind of stuff?
I worry about it, but I mean, I can't do anything about it.
You can't tip off adult protection.
I don't even know where he is. I know he was in the army, but I just would rather just not even.
All right. Well, listen, you got to take care of yourself. I understand. You got to get into this, Rhonda. That's it. That's everything. And how dare you call up here and when I suggest that something's up in your past, you try to shove it off. Please. That's big. It doesn't mean you have to totally stop your life and quit your job and everything. It's just, it's something that's you got to work on.
Well, I don't understand. Okay, if it's affecting me, how come sex feels good at all and I want to do that? I mean, if it feels
you're
good,
human,
how come it's not?
Yeah, because you're human. And it affects different people to different degrees in different ways. There's sort of various patterns that can manifest in this sort of thing. And, you know, one of the ways that this could manifest is becoming sexually compulsive. That you pursue it, you know, endlessly, and attempt to gratify yourself, and unable to do so because you can't achieve any genuine intimacy.
Some women have that. They usually knock it off by the time I start dating them. I charm right out of that sexual compulsion. Yeah. Jane.
Hi.
Hey, you're 17.
Yes, I am.
You were molested ritualistically. When you were
No, but my smoke detector is going off. Can you hear it? No, just kidding. Anyway, here's my...
That was the funniest thing I've heard all day.
Thanks.
Yeah,
and I've learned a lot from your show, too.
That's not a joke.
That's not a joke. No, I'm being serious.
You're a funny woman.
Thanks. Here's my problem. I'm thought of as the mother of all my friends. When they have a problem, they come to me. Recently, my friend's been dating this guy who has been through a year of college, and he made it a goal last year to have anal sex with a girl.
That's nice.
Yeah. And
now, is that something you write on your calendar, or is it just sort of an emotional commitment you make with oneself? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And your daily affirmations.
Yeah. Uh-huh. If you're Buddhist, would you chant for anus?
Nom
yo ho renge butthole. Nom yo ho renge butthole.
So he made it a goal, and the girl he had done it with was at a party, and he completely humiliated her, and she ended up switching schools. And I had known that he
had humiliated her.
Huh?
What did he do?
I guess someone brought it up at the party, and they just started making fun of her to the point where she couldn't be around anyone because everybody knew.
Yes.
And I had known that he had been with a lot of partners in the past, and I hadn't interfered now because I try to butt out of relationships, and he has been making an effort to be a good boyfriend, which is not something he's used to. But last night, when we were at another party, she had said that he said that he had wanted to do this for a while, and tonight, or that night, last night would be the night, and so they were going to go off and do it. And so...
How old are these people?
She's a year older than me. She's going to be a freshman, and he's a sophomore in college now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this happened or whatever, and I'm debating.
What's your question?
I'm debating whether or not I should tell her to, you know, kind of warn her that he, you know, about what kind of emotional things could happen or, you know, physically.
Well, a couple things. All right. Go ahead and send up a flare about the potential of sexually transmitted diseases. I think that's appropriate in anybody considering this sort of thing, especially when you know the guy's been around a lot. That's just that's just courtesy, I would think. But
like I said, you know, I am the mother.
Why? Right, well, you're so, Jane, you're so in over your head with this stuff. What is that all about? Your boundaries are just so poor.
You're at the deep end of the underpants, Jane.
I mean, you're so involved in other people's stuff needlessly and in inappropriate ways.
Yeah, but I gotta say, if you're gonna be involved, this is the area.
Ugh.
You know, it's a hell of a lot better than their financial status.
I need to explain something. This is not something that I purposely put myself into.
You were parentalized as a child. How did that happen? How did you become the mother in your family?
Go, Drew.
The mother in my family?
How did you become mom?
By the time
you were 12?
I'm not the mother in my family. I do have both parents. I was not abused. I'm the advice person.
How did you become a parent? Why did your parents need you to be the parent?
I don't know.
Hey, Drew, we'll do a good cut, bad cut. Hey, baby, I'm on your side. Now, listen, I understand what it's like. I had an older sister. She got in a little trouble. My mom smoked a little weed, locked herself in the room. I understand what it's like to pick up the slack. Do you have yourself a younger brother, younger sister?
I have an older brother and a younger brother. We're 4 years apart.
Mm-hmm. Your folks work a lot, something like that?
My dad works. My mom is a housewife.
Housewife, huh? She hooked on soaps or the dope?
Neither.
Crank.
Neither.
Mm. Nope.
She gave
pretty
you
stereotypical American.
Hanging your friends theory, and not a strong one in relationships. Never known it to work out, unless everyone was really high on drugs and couldn't remember.
That doesn't matter.
Right. Okay. Natasha, you okay? You want some reading material over there?
She's going to sleep.
Can we get you like some kind of crossword puzzle or something to keep you occupied?
No, I'm doodling. It's fine. I give myself a new tattoo.
Oh, you all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure. Jay.
Yeah.
You're 16.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I was just wondering, I got a couple of fairly quick questions for you guys. First off, I guess it was Wednesday night. I got home from football practice. and I felt like an irritation in my penis. So I decided to take a look at it, and it looks like...
Natasha, guys, preoccupied by this an amazing, with amazing frequency. Especially at that age, that's about all they're thinking about.
Penis irritation in football?
It's just penis. They're worried about it.
It was really, like, burning and irritating, so...
Well, are you circumcised?
Yeah, no, I'm not circumcised.
Or is it under the skin that it was irritating?
Yeah, okay. It was like...
So this is being in football pads and not doing the right hygiene and that sort of thing. You get funguses in there and irritation from...
The two-a-days can be rough on the pre-pubes.
Because it feels like it's like literally split open under there, under the head.
Yeah, yeah. You might... Yeah, I mean...
Foreskin. It's not good.
One of the things you can do... Is I mean, you obviously got to be very conscientious with how you clean things. You might even use a little hydrogen peroxide.
Where are you calling from, Jay?
Mesa, Arizona.
No,
hot.
All right, so
and penis country. Black helmet.
Oh yeah, that's great. Yeah, you had to get on the nights. That's got to suck.
Yep.
Listen, I played high school football, and it was in the San Fernando Valley, which is probably the only place that's cooler than Mesa or wherever.
Mesa's the only place that's hotter. You mean?
All right, Drew, can you... I think I stated my point, for Christ's sake. You know, it was 100 where I practice, and it's 115 where Jay practices, and this is a god-awful summer, and I think about it every time I walk out of the house in this weather. This is... I was thinking about it tonight. When you play football, this is when what they call two-a-days start, which is you have a morning practice and you have a late afternoon practice. And the deal is the morning one will go from like 9:30 to noon or 12:30 or something like that. And then you'll get back in your pads again at like 3 or 4. And the idea is to try to miss the midday heat. But let me tell you, anyone who's been in Mesa in August, it's plenty hot at 3:30 and 4. And you climb into a wet uniform because you sweat it all up. Mm-hmm. From the first two-a-day, right?
Yep. Stinky, stinky clothes.
Right.
You get in there, but it feels good, though. I mean, all right,
so keep
nice things... Cool clothes on.
All right, but you got to keep things real dry. You like even use a hair dryer to dry the area off.
That's going to get a little ridicule from that guy.
I'm not saying do it in the locker room. But
and don't make the mistake of using the one with the brush attachment.
But if that doesn't work,
guys will love that one.
You might want to see a doctor about it. It could be a fungus.
Hey, Liberace, when you're done styling the pubes, maybe you want to hit the sled for a while, huh?
Yeah, get a couple dreadlocks in there or something.
Wait, what? Ew, what's Gold Bond for?
You dump it down there. Whose phone's ringing?
It's not mine.
Hey, Jay, what position you play?
Defensive end.
All right. How's that 3-point stance looking?
Yeah.
Good?
So,
you going to make varsity this year?
Yeah, I hope so. All right. I really hope to, but...
All right,
you'll
Jay,
be fine.
That's
be fine.
It. Keep it clean. Keep
okay.
it
clean
keep
and
it,
dry.
Clean and dry.
All right.
All right. It's like being in the military. Andrew.
Hi.
You're 23.
23.
Yeah. What's going on?
I just had a question for Dr. Drew. Basically, like, I've always been really interested in, like, psychology and philosophy, and, you know, I endlessly read about it and just really, really into it. And then I started, you know, when I was, like, in high school or a little younger, I didn't really take any drugs, but I started taking LSD. And basically mixing it with...
Well, let me check what Drew for saying.
Is that a drug?
They can count that as a drug now?
You can count.
Oh.
Count that in.
Boy, so you can't take anything anymore.
No, I started mixing it with, you know, like a lot of things I was reading. And basically, like, I've read a couple books on LSD psychotherapy. And
dated when? Dated circa 1978?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah,
like
that's all way outdated stuff.
Right. That's why I was more interested in talking to you, because I've had some extremely, extremely out there experiences. And, like, you know, I try to talk to my friends at Trip about it, and most of them really have no idea what I'm talking about, but they're really eager for me to basically try some of the experiments. Or
what are some of the experiments?
Well, basically, like, I've read about the atypical bad trips and how people are afraid of them and how...
Atypical bad trip is the best thing that can happen to you.
Right.
Because that's what stops you from using more acid.
Well...
What is the atypical bad trip? A really bad trip? A severe bad trip?
Yeah, basically when fear just dominates the trip.
That
But isn't that just a bad... Hold on.
It's a bad trip.
That's a bad trip, right?
Yeah, but I found that... If you can set them off, and I always set them off whenever I take it, so I have basically a bad trip every time I take it, but they're they're extremely powerful and really intense, and like some of the insights or, you know, interconnections or basically significance behind different events, you know, makes itself clear.
Like, give us an example.
Okay, well, like, basically, I'd say the most powerful one I had is, like, I'll take the acid, then tie myself up, and then basically, like, turn out the lights or put on some static for music or put the TV on static, things like that. And if you basically, like, meditate while you're in that kind of state, then when you switch on the lights, you know, it's typical acid shirt where you see, you know, demons or spirits. And
what does that do for you?
Well, it scares the hell out of you.
What
initially.
Does that do for you? Why is that a good thing?
Well, it's, I don't know. I guess it's like some sort of addiction to the feeling of the overcoming of it. You know, it's that's the feeling that I want to recreate every time.
Well, it's like you're literally facing your demons by creating your demons.
By basically bringing them to face me, then I dead on confront them. And
well, all right, didn't I just say that, Stoner?
I don't smoke pot.
All right. Well, you're playing Russian roulette. I mean, the issue with LSD is a cumulative one. That the problems I see people get into is not because of a bad trip. It's because of having lots of good ones and continuing to use it.
Right.
And then eventually, the most aside from personality changes and some thought disturbances and some cognitive changes, which are real variable, the consistent thing I see is chronic mood disturbances, severe depressions. That often don't come on for many years until after you stopped using.
Well, they
are persistent and intractable.
I used to have, like, some serious problems with depression, you know, just basically staying in bed for days and days. And by doing a lot of this, it's helped me to work through a lot of it. Like, I've had an experience where I, like, saw some basically, you know, heat at a distance. It looks quavering. I've seen myself walk through something like that and... myself, he started explaining basically events in my life that were going to take place, and he also, for hours on end, detailed a book that I was going to write. And of course, it could be some sort of, you know, subconscious thing where it's something that I already know I was going to do or wanted to do, and it's just basically making itself obvious.
Well, let's say it wasn't. Who would he have been?
Well, though it may sound crazy, I can see all the basically metaphors behind it, but... He said that he was from a few years into the future.
All right. So you're on drugs when you do this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You're having a biological discharge of your brain.
Yeah.
That may or may not be an interesting experience for you, but that will, in all probability, have of things that affect you or a consequence that will affect you the rest of your life. And it may not start really getting into you, really, really experiencing it until you're about 30.
Listen, Andrew, let me ask you a quick sort of rhetorical question. When you go to sleep at night and you have dreams, those appear to be fairly real. Do you believe those are some message that are being delivered from some time that has not yet happened, or you just dream it? Is your mind just sort of working while you're out?
Well, basically the way I see it, it's all those things at once. It's a metaphor for something, and it's also real. Like, you know, I'm basically dreams are basically... just as valid as day-to-day life.
I agree with that.
Hold on a second.
Well, I'm sorry.
If you want to read some stuff.
Listen, I dreamed my car got stolen. It got towed. That was my last dream I had.
It could happen.
Well, it could happen, but it doesn't factor into whether it's going to happen or not.
Man, dreams are powerful stuff.
Andrew, read stuff on... What?
They're powerful in terms of interpreting what is going on and what you're thinking of, but I don't think they're powerful in terms of it's a premonition of getting your car towed.
Depends what kind of person you are, you know, if you have some sort of psychic ability or not.
Andrew, there's a book called Consilience out there right now that about 50, 60 pages into it goes through a nice little sequence about where dreams come from and give some references, and you can sort of use that as a starting point if you want to understand what the biological events are that have been proven that lead to these phenomena that you experience.
He just needs an erector set.
Or he needs a relationship.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. That's it. Wait a minute. Where was he real fast? I just want to talk to him. What line was he on? Sorry. Hey, Andrew.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to get light.
Huh?
You into the guys?
Am I gay?
Yeah.
No.
Huh?
No.
Seriously?
Yeah.
All right, you got to get yourself a woman then.
I have a girlfriend.
Really?
Yeah.
What's her name, Starla?
Her name is Bonnie.
Okay. Is she all right?
She's basically as into it as I am.
Uh-oh. Just a blind leading the blind.
What kind of music do you guys listen to?
What?
What kind of music do you listen to?
We like just basically what we're both really interested in, and is like bands like Download or Music for Cats, where it's like a lot of noise music.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's, you know, there's no real lyrics to it, or there's no real beat or anything like that. It's
all right. Here's my mission for you. You get drunk, you start listening to John Tesh or Yanni.
Oh, God.
There's no lyrics. It's a different kind of high, but it's a more positive direction, isn't it, Drew? Yeah, okay. Natasha Lyonne is here, and she's going to be here. I'm going to keep her awake during the commercial, and we'll be back.
Hi, this is Rick Ocasek, and you're listening to Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Natasha Lyonne is here. She's known as Juice Spice. She was just telling us that during the break. Dr. Jew is next to me. Phone number. Ah, forget that.
Oh, God, that was evil.
I got to tell you, we were just talking about, I'm doing Howie Mandel tomorrow, and they called, somebody dropped out, basically.
Why else would they have you?
Right. Yeah. That's my point. And I got a call from K-Rock, the home base radio station here for Loveline, and about 6 o'clock on Friday night, and I had a whole bunch of messages on my machine. Here's my deal. I don't have a pager, and I don't check my machine, and I like to leave and be out all day. So I was doing something very important. I was at the model airplane remote control airport watching a bunch of drunk guys who were unemployed flying around. I got home and there's a whole bunch of messages and everyone's real desperate and they need to talk to me. And somebody dropped out of Howie Mandel's show, which is for tomorrow, and they needed a replacement guest. So I said, oh, fine, tell the person to call me. And the person from Howie Mandel's show called me and said, Adam, can you do it on Monday? And I said, yeah, what time? Like 2 o'clock. Yeah, that's fine. I'm not doing anything. And I'll do it. Oh, that is great. Great. You excited? You excited to be here? It's all that BS TV talk where they try to whip you up because everyone's scared they're going to lose their job. And they think if they rub your belly fast enough and get your leg moving, you're going to somehow kickstart their career. So I said, and I make everyone nervous during any of these pre-interviews because I talk like I'm on a Quaalude and a Fifth of Jack. You know, I'm like,
it's only a pint.
I think I talk slow on the radio. You ought to hear me at home when I'm in my bathrobe. I'm like comatose. So I'm like, yeah, I don't even know. And she says, so you excited? And I say, well, I'm flattered that you asked me to come on, and you know it's not for about 3 days, so I'm going to reserve the excitement until Monday. But I'm not, you know, excited, but I'm still happy and flattered that you asked me to come on. She goes, "Well, we're excited to have you." And I said,
"Okay,
listen, cut the BS. Somebody dropped out. No, we're really excited to have you, though." I said, "Well." Listen, I just got a phone call and said somebody dropped out. Chris Hardwick, of all people, who hosted this. It was a friend of mine, actually. And that's why, because he told his publicist.
Check out Adam.
Go check. Chris has a sitcom coming up on, I think it's UPN or WBU or something. And he told his publicist, yeah, I want you to get Adam. He's funny. So Hardwick dropped out. He used to host Singled Out on MTV. And now I'm in. We're excited to have you, though. Really. Imagine if you'd gotten Hardwick. You would have busted a nut. Imagine how giddy you would have been if you'd actually gotten the guy you wanted to be on the show.